Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Don't you love singing Scripture? I told the worship bands, and this is happening on every campus today, that they are to, we're going to start singing Scripture every few weeks. I want to learn Scripture songs. So you learn the Word of God that way. So you all doing good this morning? How many people do we have here over 50 years old? Okay. Have you ever woke up injured? How does that happen? All right, I saw a guy one day saying this. I thought it was funny. He was on the internet. Or you try to, you know, be real cool. You know, you're walking somewhere and your leg gives out. It's just part of aging, huh? Well, all of you men that didn't go to men's retreat, you missed it. Did God meet us on the mountain or what? See, you can't come off the hill like that the same person. You just can't. I know it's hard for a lot of you. I understand. But I told the men I'd keep meeting with them. So all you men that came back from men retreat and everybody else, this is not just exclusive. Anybody can come. Starting this Tuesday night at 6 o'clock at the Northwest, I will meet with you. I'm going to teach you the Word. I'm gonna hang in here with you. A lot of you said, I need something more. So Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, Northwest, all men are invited, 6 o'clock. And for all you men at the retreat, we forgot to baptize. So every man cave on every campus will be baptizing this coming man cave. So, Father God, bless and anoint what I have to share today in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
How many seen our around town here, our whatever that is? Yeah, that's around town. Billboard, yes. Well, you know, today's going to be a review because it's back to church Sunday. And we're starting a series today. I'll do three, Josh will do one, and Shane will do one. And it's called The Series of Why Not. And today I want to answer the question of that board. Why not try church? Now, there's a place in Israel called Kfar Nakum. And it's taken from two root words. Kfar means village, and Nakum means act of comforting, connecting, compassion, and healing. So you could call this place in Israel the village of comforting, the village of connecting, the village of compassion, the village of healing. Now, this city, Kfar Nakum, was once called Capernaum. Capernaum is located there in the Sea of Galilee. It's a little fishing village where Jesus decided to call home. That was his headquarters during his earthly ministry. Now, it is said, I don't know if it's true to this or not, but that the Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 8, you remember the story maybe, Jesus healed his servant, which in the Greek, servant can also mean child or son. Jesus healed him, and out of appreciation, this man built the synagogue in Capernaum that we visit when we go to Israel. You remember the story where the centurion came to Capernaum, and he found Jesus and said, "My servant is paralyzed." And it could have been his son. And he said, "Would you come and heal him?" And Jesus says, "Yeah." On the way, this centurion looks at Jesus and said, "I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof." He said, "I'm under authority and I have men under my authority. And I say to one, go and he goes. I say to another, come and he comes. I say to another, do this and he does it." He said, "If you'll just speak the word, my son will be healed," or my servant. And Jesus just went, oh my golly, that is so right on. And Jesus rejoiced, it says, because this man got something that all the spiritual people weren't getting. Had to speak of angels in my mind. This man had a glimpse of the way the kingdom worked. And Jesus said, you know what? Let it be to you according to your belief. He said, your son, go home. He's healed. And he went home and asked the servants, what time did he get healed? And it was the precise hour that Jesus said, go home. Your son or your servant will be healed. So we're told that he built the synagogue at Capernaum out of appreciation. Well, in the same way, the church is not a building. The church is the people of God. We're the church no matter where we're at. But it just so happens that us, the people, the church, we happen to meet at a building at 2300 East Brundage Lane, and we meet at CSUB, and we meet at a campus in the Northwest, and we meet in Tehachapi, and we meet in Vegas. We have locations. But at those locations, there's a lot of connecting, comforting, and healing because the church gathers there. I hope when I'm through in the next 30 minutes that everyone here will see their need for church. I'm going to look at a very, very common passage of Scripture, and then we're going to talk Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. So then those who had received his word were baptized. You can get baptized right there today. Come to Man Cave. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to these things. Now, if they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, there had to be a reason for that. What was the reason? It must have been adding value to their life. And they were constantly devoting themselves to fellowship. We're going to say something about that. And they were constantly devoting themselves to breaking of the bread and to prayer. Why? Because those things must have been working. And because they were abiding in the Lord, they were going house to house, they were staying in the Lord. Because of that, there was a sense of awe. Everybody was saying, you know what God did for me? Oh, guess what God did for me? Oh, a spirit of. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Later on, signs and wonders took place through people that weren't apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing with them all as anyone might have need. And day by day, they were continuing with one mind in the temple. And they were breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. They were praising God for all that he was doing. And they were having favor with all the people. Did you know VBF has given favor with Bakersfield? It's crazy how much favor we've been given with the city. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. They were growing. A church is a living organism. If it's not growing, it's diseased. Yes. I'm glad VBF's growing in more ways than one. We're doing campuses. We're growing on the internet like crazy. We are growing. If we ever stop growing, we're going to have to hit our knees and find out where the disease is at. Because these people were giving something of value, and they just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. Now, why were they growing? The first reason says they were growing, and people were wanting to come to church because they were being taught the word, and the word was changing their life. You know what? Show me some place where they are giving out life-changing truths, and I'll even change my schedule to be there. I don't care if there are life-changing truths that have to do with health, has to do with finances, relationships, especially with Christ. You show me a place that's giving life-changing truths, and you can count on it, I'll be there every week. Because I like life-changing truths. I mean, every week, every month, every year, we're learning stuff here that changes your life. Oh. Now, 2 weeks ago, and I need to come back and say something because I was in a rush. Today, I usually don't take caffeine. I took 100 milligrams. But it's wearing off, so you're lucky. But sometimes I get into a rush and I don't fully explain myself. 2 weeks ago, we covered a passage in Mark chapter 11 where Jesus had cursed a fig tree. He spoke to the fig tree, cursed it, and it died. And the disciples were blown away. Say with me, they were blown away. You know why? They weren't quite used to walking with Jesus yet. They needed a few more years of seeing his ways. And then I went on and covered a passage after Jesus spoke to the tree and killed it. And the passage says, whoever says to this mountain, talks to the mountain, says be uprooted and cast in the sea and doesn't doubt in his heart, it's going to happen. The key that I taught you is if you don't have faith that comes from hearing God, you will doubt. So this promise is only for those that God has spoken to and said he wants to do something. See, I went through that pretty well, I think. See, Jesus would have never spoke to the fig tree arbitrarily. He spoke to it because the Father had told him to. How do we know that? Because Jesus taught us that I don't do anything or say anything unless the Father does it or says it. So I said there are times when we're to speak to our problems. I know that's hard for you to wrap your fingers around. I know you go, that is so countercultural. Hello, welcome to the kingdom of God. So you don't, I don't understand how this works neither. But I also want to understand how sound waves and TV waves and radio waves and social media waves are going all through the air in here. And if we have the right receiver, we'll capture them. I don't understand that neither, but I know it's true. And the kingdom of God is so far above us. Well, lo and behold, I told you after the first service, I went to the back. Sandy, who runs a lot of my stuff for me back there, she's very important to me. She came and said, oh, I got pain, you know, I'm in pain, it's a 10 plus. And I started laughing because I knew right away that in this particular case, God says speak to the problem. I knew. God, I felt for two reasons. He said, number one is, I want you to practice what you just preached. I'm going to confirm what you preached. Amen. Number two is the fact that I needed her back in that for the next service. I needed her. So I spoke to it and I said, in Jesus' name, be gone. We don't accept you. Be gone, be gone, be gone, be gone. Instantly it went away. Instantly. She said, oh my gosh. She told me today the pain's been gone for 2 weeks now. But you can't arbitrarily go around speaking to mountains in pain. You can't. You can't speak cancer away. None. See, the fervent prayer of a righteous person accomplishes much. I don't know how long that prayer will last. I haven't caught quite, I'm not spiritual enough to speak away cancer and disease, but sometimes I can get the pain gone for a few hours, enough to get God's will done. Does that make sense to you? Okay, I'm not getting off on something trippy here, but I know when I talk about stuff like that, you go, oh man, that's one of those churches. No, all I'm doing is teaching you what Jesus did. I didn't come up with this. I didn't come up with it. He did. And if you hung around me, you would see this has worked for me for 47 years. But I don't do it unless I know that's what God wants me to do. Now, the truths we're learning here, they're life-changing. And the world knows nothing about them. You should want to come to church. For example, it was in our devotions the other day, 1 Peter chapter 1 and 5. It says, we're protected by the power of God through faith. If you're not walking by faith and hearing God, you're probably not protected by the power of God as much as you want to be. My book, Conspiracy of Silence, out there, that's the whole idea. The devil doesn't want you hearing God, because when you hear God and walk according to your faith, you will not go through some of the bad stuff you're going through. I told you one day, years ago, we had offices over on H Street, and it was real dark over there at night, and about 11 o'clock at night, I had to go over to grab a book out of my office. It was pitch dark, and I go to get out of my car, and I'd been praying all the way over, listening to praise music, so I was really sensitive to the Lord, and this voice says, don't go in there, don't go in there, and I go, what? Don't go in there. No joke, God's my witness. I stood there in my car for 20 minutes. I go, why can't I go in there? What am I supposed to do? I need that book. Don't go in there, don't go in there. And finally, I got to start praying, God, what are we going to do? I've got to go in there. And after 20 minutes, some guy was hiding in the bushes 5 foot from my door. He took off running out of the bushes. He was there and probably going to hurt me. I was protected by the power of God through my faith. Through my faith. I could give you 5 God stories right off the top of my head. See, the world doesn't know about these truths. These will change your life. Another one. that we learned a few years ago, we're cleansed by the washing of the water with the word in Ephesians 5:26. Now, the word for word there is not Bible. It's personal words that God speaks to you. And the word cleansing is sanctification. See, remember my balls of clay again. Every man's born a red ball of clay. That's what Adam means in the Hebrew, red. And blue in Jewish thought is divinity coming out of heaven. When we get born again, the blue joins the red. And then our objective is to become a purple ball of clay. That's called sanctification. At some point in that sanctification process, you'll become eternally secure. But how does that process work? Right here it says, we are sanctified by the washing of the water with rhemas. So every time you come to church, you go to a men's retreat, and you hear a rhema, and you practice that, you become more sanctified until one day you're eternally secure. Now, the world does not know that. We learned about the hundredfold blessing, and I know prosperity teachers has taken that too far, but it says if you've left houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, or children, or farms for my sake and the gospel's sake, you'll get back a hundredfold that in this life and the life to come. See, I want to tell you something. I don't understand how that works. But when Debbie and I first went into ministry, I had a little bit of money that I'd made working overtime, and my father-in-law built a couple of houses for me. I invested. And my objective was to buy 5 houses. After I got 5, take the first one, turn it. I had this plan of becoming rich, okay? When I went in the ministry, I didn't make any money, so I had to sell my house. I had to give them up for Christ's sake. I just had to give them up because I had to live. Since then, God has provided a place for me to stay in Vegas when I go all the time. We went down to Moolah. He provided a place for us to stay while we were down there. And God has told me, as long as you're on this earth, no matter where you go to minister at, I will make sure you have a place to stay. I will make sure. And I have hundredfold mothers and sisters and brothers and on. And then we learned a while back that God's stronger than our heart. These are truths the world should die to know. Christians don't even know these truths in a lot of places. When we were preaching that God's stronger than your heart, the heart means emotions. I told you that. Do you know how the lives of people would be changed if they just knew that one truth? Knew that when they're overworked with the emotion of fear or jealousy or anger, if they would just spend time at the altar, God would override that and they wouldn't do the stupid thing they would have done had they not been at the altar. That changes your life. That changes your life. I was looking the other day at 1 Samuel 14:6-7. Jonathan, what it is the Philistines are coming to war with Israel people. They're warring with them and they're over there encamped in an encampment. And Jonathan, Saul's son, said to the young man who was carrying his armor, he says, I got an idea. Come and let us cross over to the garrison of the uncircumcised. This gives you a clue what's going on. Jonathan's been with God praying. He says, these men don't walk with our God. These men don't know our God. These men are insulting our God. How dare them? Did you get the spirit? He's into the Lord. He says, let's go over to the garrison of the uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us. For the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few. His armor bearer said to him, do all that's in your heart. Turn yourself and here I am. I'll go with you. See, Jonathan had hung around God a little too long. And God caused him to do a pretty crazy thing. If I was his armor bearer, I would have liked to have heard a word better than perhaps he'll work for us. See, God's stronger than our heart. We learned that. I am so grieved in the last 3 years to see all the young pastors committing suicide. We had another one just a couple weeks ago, a week ago. A lot of them, and a lot of them are quitting ministry. They're going out of ministry, they're saying, I'm not even a Christian anymore, nothing. See, someone from Vegas wrote me and says, what do you think about all these pastors committing suicide? And I said to them, they said, I've written a lot of pastors and I haven't got a good answer. And I said, well, here's my answer. First of all, I don't want to be judgmental. I'm not walking in those young men's shoes. But I do know this. All of us experience some amount of depression, discouragement. All we do. But we've been taught at VBF that our God has supplied us with all things pertaining to life and godliness. All things. And I said, I have to wonder if some of these young men that are giving up on the faith and commit suicide, if they've been taught about spiritual authority. If they've been taught what we've been taught. Because in my mind, unless you're mentally ill, which some are, That's a whole different thing. But if you're not mentally ill, I believe you should be able to work through this with the power of God, most all these things, because His Word says that. I am so down on society today. We're saying things like certain pills cause you to commit suicide. I don't buy that. I think certain pills takes down, they make you so depressed and discouraged and take away your thinking process. You don't think logically. And these pills put you in a place where the devil tells you to kill yourself. Demons tell you to kill yourself. See, this society today, we don't want to take responsibility over anything. I mean, the gun thing today, take guns away, take guns away. I want to tell you, guns are not killing people. People are killing people. Now listen to me, hear me out before you think I'm getting political. I believe there should be some gun reforms. I don't think people need to be carrying these massive guns around with these clips. I agree with all that. But why is this country so afraid to look at themselves? We're letting our kids watch video games. We're killing people as a sport and raping people as a sport. We're letting them watch movies. We're letting them do all this, but we don't want to look at that. We're desensitizing these kids to murder. But how dare us look at ourselves and start watching what our kids are watching in the video games, watch the movies they're watching. And when they are hyperactive, don't just take them to a doctor to give them some drugs so they'll stay out of your hair so you can get on your cell phone and get on your stuff. We've got to look at ourselves. Some of you today, I love you and I'm so glad you're here, but if you don't get your kids in church, they're not going to have the power to overpower what the world is telling them to do and think. You've got to raise them here with God's kids. We've got to be honest enough to look at ourselves. You take guns away and they'll keep killing people with cars and knives and clubs. They're going to keep doing it. Yes, there should be some gun reform, and I'm all for it. Don't make it easy for people. But how dare us as a culture to have to look at ourselves? You should know every video game your kid's playing. Every movie they're watching, you ought to know. Every friend they're hanging out with, you ought to know everything about those kids. I could preach. I can do it. Now, why wouldn't everybody want to come to hear these spiritual truths? Why wouldn't everybody want to come to a place where, as we're prone to get off track, the preacher will come out like I just did and step all over your toes. You're going to go, that's God, and you'll get back on track again. Why wouldn't you? Well, the second reason that church was growing in Acts is because of Christian fellowship. You're stronger when you're in a group. In the Old Testament, the enemies of Israel, it says they would pick off the Israelites one by one. They'd look for the stragglers, the loners, and those isolated, and they'd pick them off. Pastor Jim did a really good illustration at men's camp, and I want to copy that for a second. I want to bring out four of my right-hand guys, if they would come out of the back. Josh, Mike Maggard, Hector, and Tom. And I want to show you something. Guys, if you get in the same position as last service, I surround myself with these men. And I'm surrounded. You're going to have a hard time getting to me because I've got strength here. If you want to talk about me, badmouth me, get through these four guys. Listen to me. The Bible says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. A stinking lion is not stupid enough to try to attack me with these four guys around me. These guys are strong. They're tough. I was in Colorado a few years ago. We were doing a work there, and I went out and looked up at Pikes Peak and had snow all over it, and then I heard on the radio an announcement. They said a few guys were skiing down Pikes Peak a few days ago, and there was an avalanche. We assumed they were all killed. The news reporter went on to say that all the bodies had been found except for one, and the storm was so bad they had to call off the search. One of this man's best friends was sitting in an office on the East Coast. He heard that, dropped everything, flew out to Colorado. In spite of the storm, he went up and said, "My buddy's not staying up there." And he found him in the midst of a storm, set him up, put a cigarette in his mouth, and called a helicopter and said, "Come and get us. I got my friend." I know that I know that I know that if I got in a bad situation, these men would come looking for me. They'd come looking for me. I got strength. This is why I'm where I'm at today. Without these men, I couldn't do it. Years ago, I read a story about a man who was in a group like this with men. He was doing good at the church. Went home one day and told his wife, he said, "I'm leaving you for a younger woman." You know what she immediately did? She called these men right here. Before he could get his suitcase packed and into his car, they drove to his house, pulled in the driveway, and blocked his car where he couldn't get it out. He got mad, said, "What are you guys doing? I don't want you here." Grabbed his suitcases, started walking down the road. They started running down the road beside him, taking authority over demons and spirits and praying for him. The man finally gave up, went back, restored his marriage. If you don't have this, see, Hector's got my rear guard. Tom's got the muscles. He's out in front. Josh and Mike are at my side. And so you can't get to me. This is my strength. You need the same thing. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Now, listen to me. Church was a very popular thing. These people were going regularly because they were receiving the word that changed their lives. They were meeting people. If you went up on the mountain with us last weekend, you could not have not met other men. And also, Acts says that they were constantly giving themselves to prayer. Life-changing prayer is happening at this place. See, the Bible says, "Where two or more gather together, there I am in the midst." A guy said in my office, some time back, he said, "I've been trying to kill myself for 5 years. I said, "Really?" He said, "Nothing's worked. I went to counseling and everything else." I said, "Right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against this. I want to pray with you, my friend." I prayed. He told me a year later, he said, "I've never thought about suicide one time. Something was broken that day." And it's not me, my prayers. It's all these people's. Their prayers are as good as mine. Don't come and ask me to do the praying. The men's conference at Big Bear, around Fireside, a guy got up and said, "Last year at this conference, the pastors prayed over me because I had a consuming alcohol problem. Since that day they prayed a year ago, I've not had alcohol one time." Prayer. I had a couple in the Vegas church that started the church with me, and for years they had went to doctors, tried all these treatments. They couldn't have kids, and I said, "You know, we have a track record here. Let me pray for you every Sunday for the next few weeks." I did. And they got the most beautiful teenage boy you've ever seen now. That's why people were going to church, because the prayers of the people. Another reason that people were engaged with the church is because they were given to the needs of the community. See, we can give in such a way that you can't. You need to pool our resources together. We took a plus one, 2 weeks, just $1. Take a look at this video. Some of you didn't know what I'm going to show you about VBF.
Gang, I just wanted to stop for a moment this morning and tell you how much we appreciate your giving at VBF. I mean, some of you have no idea who we give to. For example, Change Our City. We have couches, we have furniture, we have things for single moms and people that can't afford it. Plus one offering we took a few weeks ago went to underprivileged children in our community. In fact, Christina Busman, Principal Rio Bravo Greeley, wrote me with the support from VBF and the Plus One, "We're blessed to be able to help our students who don't always have three meals a day." She said one of the ways they're going to use our money that you gave is they're going to supply brown bags for students to take home at night and over the weekend. And they're going to make sure that the kids have plenty to eat. And then from Dr. Ricardo Esquivel, at Elk Hills School District. He says, "Elk Hills School District is very grateful for your generous donation. Elk Hills is in the midst of transition and is focusing on all students' needs, academic, emotional, social, and physical. And these funds will go hand in hand with our vision. Your funds will be used to provide healthy and nutritionally balanced snacks for students who don't have them. Thank you again from Elk Hills. Crisis Pregnancy Center, we're buying an ultrasound for them to carry around in their truck. So when they go out into the community, they can give these girls free ultrasounds, and hopefully a lot of them won't abort their babies. Cal State, we're giving money to the program out there. The Children's Center for Single Moms, we're giving money to emancipated kids. We're giving them bus passes, and many of them have found jobs because of our bus passes. We're solving the hunger problem with students out there. OUR is Operation Underground Railroad. We are going in and saving girls that are caught up in sex traffic and sexual slavery, 14 and 15 years old. That's coming from your money. We give to the Bakersfield Rescue Mission. We give to Teen Challenge. In Ethiopia alone, we have over 50 schools. We have schools in other countries in Africa also. We have over 3,000 kids in orphanages. That's all coming from your money. Serving in September, we're going out and beautifying our community. I just want all of you to know that it's because of you that VBF is so powerful, not only in our community, but the whole world. We're feeding the hungry. We're building our vision on Isaiah 58, exactly how God told us to. And he said, if we continue to do what we're doing, he said, when you need me, I'll be right here. VBF, I will build the house for you. So I just wanted you to know what you're giving to and the blessing that will go to all of us because of the giving. Keep it up, gang. We're not a rich church, but we are rich in our giving to the community and the world. So God bless you. Love you. Just wanted to give you an update.
Why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? Why wouldn't we want to pool our resources? In 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to do a plus one again to make sure more kids get lunches and get food. You wouldn't believe the educators in the city that told me a lot of our kids don't get food. Now listen to me closely. Let me give you one more story. We've covered this before, so I'll be quick. Give me about 8 more minutes and I'll be through. The story of the Good Samaritan. One day there was a man coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. And they beat him to a pulp and left him half dead. There are people here today that are being beaten up in the world and by Satan. If we see in the spiritual realm today, some of you are sitting there with your lips swollen, all bloody, your eyes are black, you got knots on your head, you got cuts and scars and bruises. You've been so beat up. And so this man's laying there half dead. And it says a priest came down the road, saw him, and went around him on the other side. Then a Levite, who's the priest's assistant, came down, saw him, went around the other side. Why not? You know why? It says by chance. If you read the scripture, by chance a priest came down the road. By chance a Levite came down the road. At least it's implied. See, God's not directing their steps by chance. With us, it's not usually by chance. But see, the religious folk, they don't believe in a lot. They have nothing to give to that man. But we who are walking in the Spirit, we have a lot to give to them. And I'll get to that in a moment. So pretty soon, the Good Samaritan. Now, a Samaritan was a half-breed. They were probably half-Jewish, half-Assyrian. Remember, the Assyrians took over the 10 northern tribes, and they intermingled with them. And the Jews hated them because they called them half-breeds. They weren't thoroughbreds. And so here comes this Samaritan who is despised and rejected and hated. Sounds kind of like Jesus, huh? He comes down the road. Some people think that this is Jesus and not us. But does it really matter if it's Jesus or us? Because whatever Jesus does, we're told to do likewise, so it really doesn't matter. But the Good Samaritan comes down the road, and he sees this man, and it says, first thing, he was moved with compassion. Love was his motivating force. Let me tell you something. You can find a lot of churches around town today that will want to argue doctrine. You've got to see the Trinity right. You've got to see this right, that right. If you don't see it right, and they'll spend hours trying to make you see it their way. So we see it their way. Then what? You can't understand all these biblical truths. They're too deep for you. We should study and try. I agree. But I want to tell you something. You can go to churches today around town that want to argue over doctrine, and they're constantly putting people down that don't believe the exact same way they believe. And if you want to go to that kind of church, then go there. But Although we will spend a lot of time on doctrine, our major will always be love. That'll be number one. Number one. I'm not going to major in anything else but love. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that you can know all mysteries, all doctrine. You can be a theological brain, but if you don't have love, you're just a noisy gong, and you're giving people a headache. I know today there might be better teachers around and everything else, but I know one thing. There's a lot of little kids in the community today that while their parents are sleeping the weekend away because they're on drugs and everything, these kids have a little brown bag with a cookie in there and some tuna in there and some crackers in there. I know that for sure, and that's where God's heart is at. I'm telling you, some babies are not going to be aborted because of the ultrasound machine we're helping Crisis Pregnancy Center buy. Mothers are going to see their babies on ultrasound free of charge, and they're going to change their mind about having abortions. Some little 12 and 14 and 15-year-old girls in the other parts of the world and even the United States are going to be saved from sexual slavery because we're giving money and we're partnering with the Underground Railroad, who works with the police and goes into brothels and takes these girls out. That's what we're going to be about for the rest of our life. Yes, we will teach the word. Yes, we will teach doctrine. But that will always be our major. Let's finish the story. This Good Samaritan comes along. He's moved by love. Love's his motivating factor. Now listen to me. This Good Samaritan, he looks at the guy long enough to be moved by compassion. Gang, we've got to be where we're at every day. See, sometimes you will not see the glory of the Lord if you don't notice the interruptions. That's where God dwells. Sometimes we got our music on, we're so, you know, taken away with all the worries of the world that we're not where we're at. We're not there, fully there. We're not seeing these hurting people around us. He saw him, and he provided the guy with four things: oil, wine, bandages, and he went and spent the night and the day with him, ministering to him. Oil in the scripture represents the spirit. Wine in the scripture represents a changing agent. Whatever wine comes into contact with, it changes it. If you put new wine into an old wineskin, it'll burst the wineskin, it'll change it. If you put a lot of wine in a human body, it'll change the way that person acts and feels. The Catholics use the wine for the blood of Christ. What is the changing agent in life? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is what changes you. And then thirdly, he bandaged the man up. So what he did is he took the wine and poured it on the cut, and purified him. It cleansed him. Then he put the oil on, see, to make it more comforting. Sometimes the word's kind of harsh. The Holy Spirit has come in and comforted and say, just take baby steps. And then he took bandages and wrapped him up. And Ephesians teaches us that the very essence of the stuff that holds everything together is love. And so then he went and spent some time with the guy. And then you know what he did? He dropped him off at the inn. Who's the inn? It's Valley Bible Fellowship. Let me tell you something. Whether the Good Samaritan's Jesus or us, it really doesn't matter a lot to me. I still get the idea of the story. Well, you must see that even when Jesus starts a work in saving somebody, he's limited as how far he can go. He has to drop him off at the church. You can't be a loner out there. You can't take people and save them and groom them and disciple them all by yourself. You have to drop them off at the church because that's where all the gifts move. That's where the Spirit's really at. You know, you have gifted people, encouragement, gifted teachers, gifted prophets, gifted prayer. So you have to do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like the joke that day where the little kid was in the bedroom at dark and screaming, Mama, Mama, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, Mama, I'm afraid. And so finally, Mama says, I'm praying right now. God has an angel with you. You're okay. And he says, I know God has an angel in here, but I want somebody with skin on him. And that's what we need. That's exactly what we need. And so, as you go throughout the week, you're going to come across beat up people. They've been beaten up, man. I'll tell you what, their spouses have beat them up, and the world's beat them up, and the devil's beat them up, and their alcohol's beat them up, and their drugs are beating them up. And you're going to have to take them and say, hey, you got time to go to Starbucks today? Got time to go get a burger? You have time to come to my house for an hour tonight? And then what you do is you first of all take the oil out and introduce them to the Holy Spirit. You say, have you ever heard about the Holy Spirit? See, the majority of people out there, even a lot of Christians, don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. He said, let me introduce you to the Holy Spirit. Here's what he does. And hopefully they'll go, well, how do I get him? Give your life to Jesus. And then you're gonna give him some scripture promises. That's the wine. You say, you know, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will be out. Really? Do you know, when you give your life to God, he'll cause everything to turn out good, even that divorce. All. Really? See, they don't know. And then you just start loving them. See, remember I've been teaching you that we're yoked with Jesus. You do your part, the little part, and you let him do the hard part. Now you've done your part. You've given him the oil. You've given him the wine. And now what do? Every day you text him. Are you doing okay? Thinking about you? Can I pick up some food for you today? I know you're kind of in a rush. You start doing that stuff and you leave the rest to God. Oh, I got a lot more to say. But the clock says I'm out of time. My book, and three men in a row approached me at camp at men's retreat, and they said, I got saved reading your book in jail. Three men. I need you to purchase books and say, send them to prison. This church is going in the red, probably hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars every couple months, because we will not refuse books and Bibles, but we need your help to pay for those to go in there. In Tribal Influence, here's a quote. It says, there comes a time when we have to begin to reach out and find our own tribal roots and not just be content with the ones we've inherited. I hope I answer the church, the question today, why not try church? I couldn't live without the church because this is the village of compassion, the village of connection, the village of healing. When God's people are assembled, all those things are flowing. That's why in Acts, the passage we read, the people were obsessed with the church. They were obsessed to being a part because they were getting something good they couldn't live without. That's all I have to say today. Next week, we continue. I got some deep things to tell you. I didn't want to include them back to church Sunday. I'll get the deeper stuff next week if the Lord be willing. But did you get something today? Let's pray. Father God, I am so thankful that you are growing the church at VBF. We're not doing it. I thank you, God, that you're giving us favor with our city. I thank you, Lord, that we're a healthy organism. We're growing. But I pray today that you cause us to refocus on the importance of church. Cause us to refocus on giving. Because God, we just increased our giving to everybody and we don't have the money, but it's in faith. I pray that you'd make us sensitive this week that we're gonna come across a lot of beat up people. And we must be open. We must be filled with the compassion and the love of God. We have to be in devotion so we can give them a word for the day. We must learn how to pray, how to hear God, and love them and care about them. Lord, I was thinking today of the song Paul McCartney once wrote about loneliness in a crowd of people. And he said, all the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? We want to cure loneliness. We want to help people get back on the right road and walk with the power of God. If you're here today, you've never given your life to God, and you want to do it, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm sick and tired of living the way I'm living. Anybody, just raise your hand up boldly. I won't put you on the spot. I won't even embarrass you. Anybody in the house, just say, I want to get right with God today. God bless you, man. Anybody join these, just raise your hand. I can't see through the whole auditorium. But even if you didn't raise your hand, if you really want to leave here a different person than came in, it's very simple. Pray this prayer with me and say, God, everybody, God, today I'm tired. I don't want to live this way anymore. I need you. I give you permission right now to send the Holy Spirit and come into my body, live inside of me, change me, make me one of your kids. I want to start walking with you today. I'm going to choose to believe this prayer, and I'm going to choose to believe that when I walk out of here, I'm not the same person that came in. I'm going home with God in my body. Amen. Love you. A little bit over today, but God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is